All Games Radio Online presents the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of November 6th, 2005.
Come on, everybody!
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, the show that gives gamers a voice, from a live broadcast to podcast. All Games Radio Online presents The Bobby Blackwolf Show.
For the next hour, we'll discuss the latest gaming news and gaming trends, as well as touching on your favorite classics. From Atari to Xbox, we'll talk about it all. Our Skype line is always open at Bobby Blackwolf Show, so if you can't be here for our live Sunday night broadcast, feel free to voice your opinion for a future episode. To participate in our live broadcast, join us in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network or on our forums at AllGames.com.
And now, Bobby Blackwolf.
All right, hello, hello.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. For the live folks, we are hanging out in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network, and our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. For the podcast folks, feel free to call our Skype line's voicemail with your thoughts on any topic in the gaming industry, or just leave me an email at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear yourself on the air. And as always, thanks to Kropotkin for providing the UK news segment that runs before this show goes live. It's available as a podcast feed on our website, allgames.com/podcast, or at his site, kropotkin.co.uk. It's really hot in this room over here. I usually don't talk about where I broadcast from, but we don't have the AC running, and I think that's a bad thing because I had to close all the windows and turn off all the fans so you wouldn't hear it. Anyway, enough about that. We are going to jump into one of the top stories that involve the gaming industry. I was going to have someone on to talk about this, but unfortunately real life got in the way, and we'll have to have him on some other time. But in June of 2003, then 19-year-old Devin Moore murdered two police officers and a police dispatcher in Fayette, Alabama, reportedly saying, quote, "Life is like a video game. Everyone's got to die sometime," unquote, after he was captured. His defense was that Grand Theft Auto made him do it. During his criminal trial, the judge would not allow any video game-related testimony in the case, and he was convicted and is sitting on Alabama's death row. This past week, a civil case started. The family of those slain officers and the dispatcher are currently suing Sony, Take-Two, Rockstar, Walmart, GameStop, and Devin Moore himself for developing, manufacturing, selling, and playing Grand Theft Auto. The game industry and Devin Moore are being represented by the Philadelphia law firm Blank Rome, and the families of the police officers are being represented by the self-proclaimed anti-game crusader, Miami lawyer Jack Thompson. The fun started earlier in the week when Jack Thompson issued a press release hyping up the Thursday court date as if it were a wrestling match. GamePolitics.com posted this press release, and here's a portion of it. Quote, "This Thursday, November 3rd, 2005, Thursday, at 1 p.m., the Alabama fireworks ignite in the Fayette County Courthouse. This may make the O.J. Simpson trials look like quilting bees. Defendants Sony, Take-Two, Rockstar, Walmart, GameStop, and cop killer Devin Moore have all been sued for their respective roles in the June 2003 murder of two police officers and a dispatcher. The corporate defendants are nervous, and here's proof. Their primary strategy is to get Miami attorney Jack Thompson kicked off the case, alleging in court documents that he is paranoid and cursed with a colorful history of disciplinary problems. Forget that the referred-to bar complaints came 15 years ago from the porn industry, and that Thompson has always been a lawyer in good standing with the Florida bar and officially certified sane by the bar after the ACLU and the radio pornographers last tried this nonsense. That exoneration of Thompson did not stop Sony and Take-Two's law firm, Blank Rome, which has given more campaign contributions to the Republican National Committee than any other lobbyist. They are lead registered lobbyists on the Hill for Take-Two, from plunking down in front of Judge Moore an order stating that Thompson may have a mental illness. Oh, and certain regional governments in Japan have banned the sale of Grand Theft Auto games to minors, but Japan's Sony has no problem whatsoever dumping this garbage into American kids' brains. Looks like Pearl Harbor 2 by Sony and Take-Two." It goes on, but that was the punchline. This prompted GamePolitics.com editor Dennis McCauley to question Jack Thompson on his comparison of the video game industry to the beginning of World War II. And here was his response. This is from Game Politics, saying that some readers are taking offense to the Pearl Harbor comments in your press release, and I have to say that it does sound like a somewhat insensitive remark. Would you care to comment on that section or elaborate further? And Jack Thompson says, quote, insensitive? What the Japanese are doing to our kids is insensitive and racist. The Japanese have for a very long time dumped pornography into this country in a fashion that they would not tolerate on their own country. It is another version of Pearl Harbor. Game Politics replied back saying, by porn, I take it you mean violent video games. Are you referring to various Japanese-made game platforms? But Take-Two is an American corporation, and Rockstar is an English subsidiary. Most of the games I can recall you criticizing over the years have been American-published, such as Grand Theft Auto, 25 to Life, Bully, The Warriors, The Sims, Blitz, The League, EverQuest, Doom, etc. Jack merely said that Sony is a Japanese company. And when pointed out, Sony only makes the player. I don't recall you criticizing any of their titles in a major way. If you take that approach, wouldn't TV, VCR, and DVD player manufacturers be equally complicit, since their products allow playing violent movies and even actual porn? Jack Thompson replied, Grand Theft Auto is a Sony game. It was made by Take-Two exclusively for Sony's PlayStation 2. Sony has led the planet in the distribution of mainstream porn. I don't have time to document this for you. As for the offensiveness of the Pearl Harbor comment, it's accurate and it's needed. The Japanese have a contempt for our culture, which is patent. Their dumping of garbage into our culture is a slow-motion version of Pearl Harbor. And then after this, after that little exchange, Jack Thompson sent a letter to Japanese Ambassador Ryoko Kato. Dear Mr. Ambassador, as a United States citizen who has been active and visible in opposing Sony's distribution of hyper-violent and sexually explicit video games to children in this country, I would respectfully request that your nation's government assist me in making this harmful distribution stop. This request comes in the aftermath of recent news reports that certain local/regional governments in Japan will not allow, for example, the grotesque Sony, Take-Two, Rockstar, Grand Theft Auto games to be sold to children in your country, but Sony is more than delighted to distribute these games to our children in our country. This is hypocrisy. This must be remedied. Japan cannot allow to be done to our children what it will not allow to be done to its own, unquote. So I don't recall Japan being the reason that we're suffering over here. And, you know, we don't make laws to protect Japanese children. I don't think Japan should step in and try to protect our children for us from things like that. And Jack Thompson, when he was confronted with the fact that GTA is available on the PC and the Microsoft, Devin Moore played the PS2 version, and that's why Sony's the only one in trouble here. He's not going up after Microsoft yet, even though he does blame Microsoft and Halo for some other killers. Anyway, back to the story about Devin Moore in Fayette, Alabama. The Tuscaloosa News reported on the one day of the case that has occurred so far. And here's a portion of it. Quote, Jim Smith of the law firm Blank Rome argued that Thompson has violated legal ethics by sending out scores of press releases making accusations against Blank Rome. He can't proceed with the civility the rules require. All lawyers have to conduct themselves with honesty, integrity, and civility. This isn't a street fight, he said. Smith also said that Thompson attacked and threatened him and co-counsel Rebecca Ward in press releases and accused his law firm of influence peddling and conspiracy. He also said that Thompson was trying to poison the community by leaking evidence that wouldn't be admissible in court to the press. Quote, he's going to turn the courtroom into a circus and we can't have it, unquote. Thompson countered that Blank Rome always attacks its adversaries and claimed that it had a role in the Swift Boat veterans' accusations against John Kerry. He said that they were conducting a smear campaign against him. Quote, I didn't start this food fight. They started it, and I have a right to respond because, believe it or not, I have a life outside this case, unquote. That was Jack Thompson. I didn't realize that they started it was a valid legal defense. That's something you do in the playground as 8-year-olds. He said that the firm's clients have accused him of being a bisexual and a pedophile. I don't remember that. They accused him of nothing. That's in reference to the Liberty City Stories website, where they have an email by JT and talking about how he couldn't find something on Google about girls playing like water polo or something. And Jack Thompson just took it all in the wrong way. But anyway, but Judge Moore, who's presiding over the case, questioned some of the statements documented in the press releases. And Jack Thompson said, quote, I'm not pretending I'm not a nice guy. I'm not pretending I don't have a temper. Judge Moore had placed a gag order on lawyers involved in the lawsuit until Moore's criminal trial was complete. He lifted the gag order after the trial, and Thompson has issued a steady stream of press releases and letters since. Moore pointed out a thick bound volume of press releases and letters that Smith presented as evidence. Some of the reports is that is 300 pages thick, but I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. Judge Moore asked, why did you do this? And Jack Thompson said, you said after the criminal trial to have at it. And Judge Moore said, quote, your have at it and my have at it are not the same, unquote. Judge Moore had asked each side to draft a proposed order on how he should rule in the motion to dismiss the case. He said he would make a decision on both motions later. And that's where we are today. And so we'll keep on top of this because this is a big landmark case in terms of our video games really responsible for other people's actions. Part of me hopes that this would go to court and that Jack Thompson does not get removed from the case because he would lose. And this would be a big black eye. At least this way, he's trying. Jack Thompson might, if he gets removed from the case and the case goes to trial and it loses, he can say it was because he wasn't there. What I wish would happen is that Jack Thompson not be removed from the case, and either the case gets dismissed or it goes through and the video game industry wins. We are in the AllGames.com chat room on the GameSurge IRC network. I'm going to see if anybody is talking about this. Gita wants me to go back to calling him the douchebag of Miami. Gita says, if I've never shot a gun in real life after playing Grand Theft Auto, I'm not going to pick up a real one and know how to use it. That's something that I pointed out on a blog recently on Game Politics, actually, in their comments section, is that I've played first-person shooters. I played Doom when it came out. And we went to a paintball field after we had played a lot of Doom and a lot of Quake, and apparently we've been trained to kill. I can't hit the broadside of a barn. I don't understand the whole game's teach you to kill, because using a mouse and keyboard or even a gamepad is a hell of a lot different than using a real gun. And I'm wondering why nobody's sued Paintball Fields or Qzar or any other laser tag for actually teaching people how to shoot real guns and aim and all that stuff. Let's see. Interlogic says that Gran Turismo made me sideswipe another car because I thought I would bounce off them to make a turn fast. And I am going to go ahead and open up our Skype line. Bobby Black Wolf Show, all one word. We do have a lot of other stuff to talk about. The Matrix wants to call in and just say that he hates John Bruce Thompson. He's a real dick. And John Bruce Thompson is actually Jack Thompson's real name. The real Jack Thompson is dead. Continuing in on this kind of conversation, Game Daily Biz reported that during the Montreal International Game Summit, Deus Ex and Thief designer Warren Spector bashed Rockstar for their, quote, kill fest. Spector admits that the Grand Theft Auto franchise has exhibited some brilliant design, but it's the violence and urban warfare that has led to countless imitators and therefore has put the video game industry in the cultural crosshairs, and that bothers him. Quote, I'm really angry at the Rockstar guys. Not like I'm going to go beat them up and yell at them, but they frustrate me because Grand Theft Auto 3 in particular was an amazing advance in game design. It was a stunning accomplishment as a game design, and it was wrapped in a context that completely for me undid all the good they did on the design side. What frustrates him even more is that he'd like to use Grand Theft Auto as a shining example of how the gaming medium has evolved, but because of the game's content, he can't. Quote, it's like I want to tell my mother this is what games can be, but I can't, because they can't get past the beating people up with a baseball bat, stealing cars and crashing them in the foul language and stuff. And I don't think it's necessary. At this point, Grand Theft Auto is the ultimate urban thuggery simulation, and you can't take a step back from that. But I sure wish they would apply the same level of design genius to something we really could show enriches the culture instead of debases it, unquote. Going back to GamePolitics.com, which is where I found this story, Jack Thompson was verified as posting in the comments section, he actually posts there a lot, that Warren Spector has won a free ticket to testify against the video game industry in Strickland v. Sony, which is what we've been talking about. I'm sure that Warren Spector is so happy about that. So, I don't think that they're going to be able to make him testify. You can't really force someone to testify in something like that. Sub-Z says, ask him why Deus Ex 2 sucks. That is why it didn't sell. And one last little politics type thing here, real quick, for any of our listeners that are in Delaware. State Representative Helene Keeley, a Democrat from Wilmington, has introduced legislation into the Delaware House to criminalize selling an M or AO rated game to a minor based on its ESRB rating. Not much more to talk about on this, except I just want to throw in my comment that if a law has to be made, this is the way I'd want it to be made. It references the ESRB, and this is something that game retailers should be doing already. They should have done this voluntarily. If they did, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. The reason that there will still be an uproar over something like this that uses the ESRB is because it's singling out video games. And the ESA doesn't like it when video games are singled out. If you're going to do this, you should do it to movies, music, and books as well. And, use the MPAA for movies, get a music rating standard, rate books, and all that stuff. What it did say is that they need to have a big sticker for games that are not rated by the ESRB that says not rated in Delaware. And that's how they're going to handle games that either could not afford to go through the ESRB process or didn't want to go through an ESRB's process. That's the last of the political stuff. So going into actual game playing and gaming consoles, how about gaming consoles coming up? Let's talk a little bit about the Xbox 360 launch. It's coming real soon. We got a few weeks left, and there's a bunch of stories. First one that I don't have a link on or anything because I just thought of it like 5 seconds ago. Wanted to mention for those of you who didn't know that Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, yeah, it's been delayed. You're not going to see it anytime soon. It's been delayed until Q2 2006, presumably to get the bugs out of it. Now, one thing that I do want to point out, that is still in the 14-week launch window, so it could still be considered a launch title. It's just going to be at the tail end of the launch and not at the beginning. So I feel sorry for all the Oblivion fans that have been looking forward to that game. I know a lot of people on our forums at All Games canceled their Xbox 360 pre-order because Oblivion wasn't coming out anytime soon. So maybe for those of us who want like Project Gotham Racing 3 or something, that'll keep a couple people out of the line so I can get a 360. But 1UP.com recently posted an editorial that's actually really funny. And what it does is it shows the parallels between the Xbox 360 and the Sega Dreamcast. They listed 23 things that are exactly the same about both consoles, and then a bunch of reasons why the Xbox 360 won't suffer the same fate as the Dreamcast. Here's a few of the similarities, and this is kind of interesting. They're both launching a year before the competition. They're both facing a far superior next-generation PlayStation console that wowed gamers with fancy tech demos. They're both sleek and white, following in the footsteps of bulky black consoles. They both made their American debut on MTV. They both run a Windows-derived OS. They both have the big selling point of online. Xbox 360 has a built-in Ethernet port and Xbox Live Silver. Dreamcast had the packed-in modem and SegaNet. Logos are both similar circle shapes. They're both unable to play the latest in cutting-edge movie media. Xbox 360 can't play HD DVD. Dreamcast couldn't play DVDs. They both have a big selling point of high-def monitor output. Both are the big proponent of customization with either VMUs or faceplates. Both have Peter Moore spearheading the marketing. Both play previous generation games under emulation. Dreamcast had Dreamcast. Tetsuya Mizuguchi is working on a highly anticipated first-party title, 99 Nights for the Xbox 360. Space Channel 5 was his Dreamcast title. They both have exclusive promotional partner leading up to launch, Pepsi, or Mountain Dew, which is owned by Pepsi. Both have a highly anticipated first-party racing game from Bizarre Creations, Project Gotham 3, for the Xbox 360, Metropolis Street Racer for the Dreamcast. Both have a unique selling point of a microphone. The software medium they use is criticized for not having enough capacity. CD-ROM for the Dreamcast, DVD-9 for the Xbox 360. Both promises to be an evolutionary system, someday playing HD DVDs or DVD for the Dreamcast. Both have a crazy rich bald guy spotted at promotional events leading up to the launch. Dreamcast had Vern Troyer, Mini-Me, and Jay Allard is a crazy, rich, bald guy. They plan to eventually offer larger storage capacity, Xbox 360 with bigger hard drives, Dreamcast promised zip drives, and a Metal Gear Solid trailer stole much of the next generation thunder. Dreamcast lost to Metal Gear Solid 2, Xbox 360 got owned by Metal Gear Solid 4. There's a bunch of reasons listed also why the Xbox 360 won't fail. You know, Square and EA snub Sega, but they're embracing Microsoft, and Sega was before its time on online. It really only had a dial-up modem. Not many people had broadband. Sega doesn't have a budget. Microsoft has the biggest budget in the world, and Xbox 360 has Halo 3, which is something that the Dreamcast didn't have. So I don't think Microsoft has to worry all that much. It's just really interesting to see the similarities on it. Everybody in chat, Gita is leading the charge. 1 billion gamers. That's what Xbox 360 is going to have. That Dreamcast does not. 1 billion gamers. I really need to get that soundbite. I need to find that soundbite. I probably have it somewhere. But speaking of the Xbox 360, Gizmodo, which is not Gizmodo, which is funded by the mob, it's a website. Gizmodo has reported that Microsoft told a Norwegian retailer that they must sell out of all of their Xbox 360s on launch day. Quote, retailers in the land of King Harald V are each being allotted a supply of 20 consoles, 6 core editions, and 14 premium versions. But there's a catch. In order to get all of them, each shop or chain has to sign an agreement saying that they will sell out of all 20 consoles on the release date, which is December 2nd. On top of that, the retailers must agree to sell a minimum of 2 games per console. Microsoft Norway even said themselves that they plan to use the sold out as a marketing strategy to hype the console. Although the exact numbers are no doubt different for American and other European retailers, similar tales of this marketing and strong-arm strategy are likely to hold fast around the globe. Gizmodo has been hearing rumors that the Xbox 360 will only be available in bundles with a set number of games when it goes on sale in Norway. And the tactic's not new. Sony will probably do the same thing when it launches the PS3. And there's nothing like a sellout to generate publicity, even if it requires slowing the production line to ensure a shortage. Good luck in getting a 360. Sub-Z says the 360 strategy is to hire 1 billion Velocity girls with webcams to get people to join Xbox Live. Interlogic wants 1 billion million shirts to buy. And The Matrix says that the only reason he's getting Xbox Live is to have VoIP sex with Velocity Girl. Always the best comment of the show. Every time he says it, it's going to get old very soon, like 5 seconds ago. Thank you, The Matrix. Other than the Xbox 360 losing Oblivion and forcing people to sell out, they're going to have a very successful launch in their eyes. Not everybody who wants one will probably have one by then. But it'll work out. I think Microsoft's going to be able to pull it out. They do have the marketing power behind them to do it. And I've actually seen them. They're everywhere, the kiosks, the demo kiosks. I played one at FYE over at my local mall. And it was also at the EB Games that's downstairs. And I'm sure more Walmarts have them. Cameo has not changed since E3. I'm proud to say that because it was the exact same demo that I played at E3. I mean, it's pretty. It's pretty in 720p. It's going to look really nice on my high-def TV. We'll just see how the games are after the initial launch. Sub-Z wants to see Balmer fight Reggie, those are me, from Nintendo. That would be a good fight. Interlogic says, developers, quoting the mission statement there. Going over to the PS3, since we've been talking a lot about the Xbox 360, both Nintendo and Sony have kind of been keeping quiet for now. Keep Media has reported that Sony hasn't learned from its online mistakes from the current generation, and they're going to repeat them with the PS3. Quote, it looks like Sony will in fact go with an open architecture for its online model. Basically, the way that PlayStation 2's online model operates will be applied to the PlayStation 3. Now, while they admitted that the Xbox Live online gaming service is one of the things that Microsoft has done well, Sony's plan is to let publishers establish their own means of getting consumers online and to let the publishers interact with the consumers directly instead of using Sony as some kind of buffer for the online experience. I think that's a mistake. Because Nintendo's got their Wi-Fi connection, which comes out in a week and a half. Microsoft has Xbox Live, which is really looking nice. Microsoft's just redone My Xbox on their website, live.xbox.com, and you can go ahead and put your gamer tag up there, and it has some of the Xbox 360 features already up there. I think Sony's kind of dropping the ball on this one, and that's going to bite them in the end. Because, yeah, it'll have online play, but I don't play that many PS2 online games, and I have a broadband adapter for it. If you give the developers some kind of framework to build off of so they don't have to run their own servers, then you're going to have more online games, and you're going to have better online games. You know, the only people that didn't like having Microsoft running the servers was really EA, and they got over that. Or actually, Microsoft gave them an SDK so they could run their own servers. And I think Sega also did that. But everybody else, they're probably happy they don't have to run the servers for their online games. Sub-Z says that PS3 needs a damn friends list, at least in all games. I agree. Matrix says that most of the PS2 games use GameSpy, which does kind of have that framework in there. But it's still not something that's really present in the console. You know, I can boot up my Xbox without a game in it and look at my friends list and see if anybody's online, which you can't really do with the PS2, and you probably won't be able to do with the PS3. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about a little bit more stuff. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online.
This is Crystal 1724. Welcome me back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, the only place that consistently and effectively owns me every time I call in.
Thank you very much, ChrisPhil1724, for that bumper. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on All Games Radio Online. If you want to leave a bumper like that, just call our Skype line sometime during the week. Leave a voicemail. Leave your name. Doesn't have to be a real one. And where you're from. And say that, you know, welcome back. Just like that. And we'll use it because I've been using the same ones over and over again and people are getting tired of hearing them. So I'd love to get some new ones in there. So one of the last news items that I actually had some guests that couldn't make it tonight, unfortunately. Security Focused issued a bulletin regarding two devices, the Warden by Blizzard, which is used to detect cheaters in World of Warcraft, and Sony's DRM rootkit that is released on all their recent music CDs. Quote, World of Warcraft hackers have confirmed that the hiding capabilities of Sony BMG's content protection software can make tools made for cheating in the online world impossible to detect. The software, deemed a rootkit by many security experts, is shipped with tens of thousands of the record company's music titles. Blizzard Entertainment, the maker of World of Warcraft, has created a controversial program that detects cheaters by scanning the processes they are running at the time when the game is played. Called the Warden, the anti-cheating program cannot detect any files that are hidden with Sony's BMG content protection, which only requires that the hacker add the prefix $SYS$ to file names. Despite making a patch available on Wednesday to consumers to amend its copy protection software's behavior, Sony BMG and First 4 Internet, the maker of the content protection technology, have both disputed claims that their system could harden the security of a Windows system. Yet, other software makers rely on the integrity of the operating system. They're finding that the hidden code makes security impossible. So it's kind of like two wrongs. Are they making a right? You know, I mean, unless you can't consider, you know, cheating in World of Warcraft, you're right, which a lot of people apparently do. Interlogic says that rootkits are fun. Go Sony BMG for doing it. Gita just bought the new Santana CD, which has the rootkit. I don't necessarily agree with Blizzard's technology that they're using for the Warden. Basically, what the Warden does, I don't think I've talked about it before, but you probably know what it is already. It checks the window titles of any program running. And it doesn't actually have to be a window. It's just a program and then the name of the program. And it checks it for various macroing or cheating programs that people use in World of Warcraft. And it shuts down your account if it finds them. And it sends all this information back to Blizzard. So if you have, you know, a window open of, like, Word, and it has your social security number in the title of the document for some strange reason, Blizzard now knows your social security number. But what happens is the Warden can't see these hidden files that Sony's CDs use. And so people just change the names of their cheats to act like they are part of Sony's rootkit. And the Warden can't see them, and they can happily cheat and ruin other people's game experiences all they want. Tiger Claw says that he heard that the rootkit, when you try to remove it, it causes you to lose your CD-ROM drive. And Gita says that you have to remove the drive physically. On the two fronts, A, don't cheat in World of Warcraft. Don't cheat in online games. That's stupid. Get a life. But B, when you're buying a CD, look to see. They actually have to put, I believe, on this CD if it has this copy protection scheme on it. And if you buy a CD that has that copy protection, that any of that on it, don't put it in your PC. That's really the offers of advice that I can give here. Tiger Claw says that, you know, you can bypass loading anything from the CD if you press the shift key. You can't actually play the CD. That's the thing. They don't let you play the CD in Win Media Player. You actually have to use, like, their customized player or whatever to play the music on your PC. That way you can't rip it to your iPod. It says content protected, according to Gita. Anyway, I bought two games, and they're very different ends of the spectrum this week, and I want to talk about both of them. First game I bought was something we played some of the music from earlier here on the live stream, Sid Meier's Civilization IV. Now, I haven't played a Civilization game since the first one way back when I was in college because I didn't want to be sucked in. I really didn't have the time anymore to invest in it. But thanks to our chat room, DC Nate and a bunch of them, I went out and picked it up and have been dominating the world ever since. It's not that hard to get into if you've never played a Civ game before or if you've taken a break from the series. There's a lot that you can read, but it's really not necessarily to read all of it to get into the game. But there are some funny parts in the text, such as the quote attributed to the satellite technology and the picture associated with the internet technology. So go look for those. They're kind of funny. It ran fine on my P4 2.4 gigahertz machine that I have here. It's got 512 megs of RAM. Everywhere but one area, the pre-rendered videos that play when you build a wonder, the audio skipped on those for some reason. You know, gameplay's fine, but the pre-rendered videos skip. The graphics are beautiful in 3D, and they really add to the world. There's a lot of great music and sound effects in it as well, and it immerses you in the world that you're trying to conquer. The other game that I bought, completely opposite end of the spectrum, it's for the Nintendo DS, and it's a game probably nobody else here has or has even looked at, Metroid Prime Pinball. I'm a sucker for pinball games on handheld. I had Revenge of the Gator for my Game Boy Fatty. This one, Metroid Prime Pinball, is really, really fun. It does not use the stylus in any way, but it does use the two screens. It allows you to see the entire game board and puts more detail into it. And it is the first game. It comes with the Rumble Pack. And basically what this does is it plugs into the Game Boy Advance slot and provides a little bit of rumble. Now, one of the first things I did with it was that I tried putting it in my Game Boy Advance SP to see if it did anything. It doesn't. The thing about the Rumble Pack, though, in case you play with, and I'm going to try to load it up, I've got it right here. If you play like in an environment where you can't make noise, don't use the Rumble Pack, because the Rumble Pack actually makes a hell of a lot of noise while it's rumbling. I'm going to see if I can get it picked up on the mic here. There we go. So it does make a little bit of noise, and it's really just short rumbles. It's not anything prolonged or sustained or anything like that. But it's a neat little device. The game doesn't cost that much more. I think it's only like $5 more because it has this in it. But it's really fun. Has a very fun multiplayer mode. Only one cartridge is needed, and essentially you race to 100,000 points on the game board. But the way they make it even is that if you lose your ball and you're in first place, your score dips down to just below whoever's in second place. So even in a two-player mode, there's a race to the finish, because you never know when you're going to drop down, and or you never know if you're way back in second, you might jump up to first. One time I was actually at 99,000 points, and I lost the ball and fell into second with 86,000 points, and I lost the game to my girlfriend. That was a sad time right there. The single player involves missions with boss battles. You do actually fight Metroids and Beetles and other baddies on the main table, either by hitting them really hard or using the bombs that are given to you. And then there's also a combat mode where Samus actually comes out of the ball, and you have a gun and you aim left and right, and there's like a bunch of approaching baddies. It's kind of like Galaga in a way, where you know you have to, you know, try to hit them all before they get you. Then there are boss fight tables where you actually get missiles or power bombs and you fight large ice or rock monsters. The goal is to collect as many artifacts as you can. Now, these aren't full reviews, so I won't really give a score, but they're both really fun. If you like pinball games, or you think you might like a pinball game and you have a DS, at least rent Metroid Prime Pinball and try it out. It's one of those great pick-up-and-go games, you know, if you only have a couple minutes to play. If you like turn-based strategy games, you probably already have Civilization 4. So there's really not much more I have to say about that. Tiger Claw says that he thinks that the Rumble Pack will eat up battery life. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't had to recharge, and I've been playing a lot of pinball recently. The Matrix says that he tried at EB Games. He was trying to use the stylus at first. Actually, yes, you can probably play it in a bunch of kiosks. I actually saw it in the Best Buy kiosk, which is why I bought it after I played it there. Interlogic says that pinball is great on a real table. I wish I could have a pinball table in my apartment. Before that, he said that pinball games for consoles and handhelds are usually very, very bad. Like I said, I don't think this one's that bad. Pinball Construction Set is the exception. I remember that game. I had it for my Commodore 64. I loved Pinball Construction Set. That was so awesome. I sucked at making tables, but it was so much fun making those tables on my Commodore 64. Gita screams that Civ 4 is good. Unfortunately, we had two people that were going to come on and talk about some stuff, and unfortunately both of them had real life get in the way, and so they were unable to make it tonight, so I don't have that much content for tonight. The Matrix says that Battlefront 2 is great. Anyway, I wanted to go ahead and say here, because last time it was so popular when I did this, we're going to not be doing the show next Sunday night. We're going to have to do it next Saturday night because of real life, and essentially my day job has said that I need to be somewhere far away at 7 a.m. on Monday morning, which means that I have to actually get on a plane on Sunday afternoon and fly up to Virginia. I'm going up to Virginia. So the show is going to be Saturday night next week at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Podcast feed will actually be up Sunday morning rather than Saturday morning. Everything should be fine the week after, and we'll be able to go back to our normal schedule. But this happens every once in a while, so we'll just move it to Saturday. And instead of competing with the NFL, we're going to compete with college football, which is actually what I watch. That's all the time that we have for this week's edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio Online. Check out the Shoutcast stream posted on our website, allgames.com/podcast. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for use on the show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. But for those of you listening here live, it's time for that great All Games tradition of reading the chatters. Apulo, Cambot, Chanserv, DC Nate on his laptop, Burr, Drunk Pandas, Gita, Nekoban, Ninjalt, Rare Text, Refi, Soul Brother Rule, Stone Raider, THK, Burning Paper Sun, Alt Stupid Bot, Bidegg, Captain Roy, CB29, Chrisville 1724, D5T, Fifth Dream, Gene Starwin, Helter Skelter, Hitman for Hire, Ichiban, Interlogic, Kazan, Nuxonic, Meru, Mecha, Oshi, OSU Fan, Rowan Dinch, Samanosuke, Sub-Z, Tedekin, The Matrix, The Raven, and Tiger Claw. Once again, thanks for listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio Online. See you next week.
A winner is you. If you wish to comment on any of the topics on tonight's episode, you may leave a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, via email at blackwolf@allgames.com, or by joining our official forums at allgames.com. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. You've been listening to All Games Radio on